Welcome to the next in the series of Journey Through the Bible, and today we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. This is the verse to be highlighted as a continuation of the previous teachings, specifically on the Lord's Prayer, and today I would like to conclude the series on this powerful blueprint given to us on how to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What exactly does the word temptation mean, and what is Yeshua saying by lead us not into temptation? Well, the Greek word for temptation is poira, P-O-I-R-A, and it means a test or trial. The footnote in the Amplified Bible says, lead us away from situations where we are vulnerable and have the opportunity to sin. God will never tempt us, but he does allow us to be tested. Please note too that the word for evil is poneros in the Greek, meaning hurtful, ill, diseased, grievous, harm, wickedness. And it's taken from the root word ponos, meaning anguish, pain, or involving calamity. So we can see that our Heavenly Father desires that we as his children deliberately move away from any situations which might prove harmful to us. The word temptation is more often than not associated with the more obvious evils or sins of fornication, adulteries, thieving, drunkenness, gluttony, murder, etc., all the big sins as it were. However, there are far less obvious testings which from God's perspectives are just as needful to be avoided. For example, the temptation to start to complain when circumstances get difficult, or to lie when asked to own up in a classroom full of students and the teacher wants to know who didn't do their homework, or the temptation to say something ugly about someone who has been hurtful or offensive, or to be irritable, impatient, or critical when feeling tired or sick, to succumb to fear instead of being full of faith with a potentially dangerous situation. All these things, and many more, are common to all of mankind. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 to 19, there is a story about a king called Hezekiah who succumbed to another not-so-obvious temptation, and he failed the test by giving glory to himself rather than glorifying the Lord. Let's read how his foolish actions had repercussions, which eventually had a negative effect on future generations. Reading from 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12. At that time, Berodach, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah listened to and welcomed them, and foolishly showed them all his treasure house, the silver and gold and spices and precious oil and his armory and everything that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house, his palace, nor in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say that would cause you to do this for them? From where have they come to you?" Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." Isaiah said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They have seen everything that is in my house or my palace. There is nothing in my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the time is coming when everything that is in your house and that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons, your descendants, who will be born to you, will be taken away as captives, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This was a very harsh word which Hezekiah received. Now I just want to mention and give a bit of a background to this whole story. Hezekiah had become very ill, and he had been close to death, and in response to his prayers and his heartfelt tears, he received a miraculous healing. He was a devout follower of the Lord God of Israel and had done much to cleanse Judah of pagan worship and idolatry. He clung to the Lord, and as a result, he'd become very successful and very prosperous. Now, when the king of Babylon had heard of Hezekiah's illness, he sent an envoy, just as I read just now, together with letters and a gift to wish him well. In response, Hezekiah yielded to the temptation to flaunt all this great wealth, his treasures, and all the riches of his storehouse, of his whole kingdom. And he showed it to these pagan visitors. And this was much to the displeasure of Elijah the prophet, since it was God who had blessed and prospered Hezekiah. And it should have been God who had received the glory. Not only was this the mistake that Hezekiah had made, but he also had literally thrown pearls before swine. He shared the sacred treasures of the Almighty God with a foreign nation who worshipped false deities. And the consequences of his actions were later seen in the lives of Hezekiah's descendants, who were exiled from Jerusalem and had been taken captive to Babylon. And that story, the well-known story, can be found and read in the book of Daniel. Now Elijah the prophet was so angry with Hezekiah, for he had brought such a great dishonor to the God of Israel. And this is something that we as modern day believers in Christ, we can learn from this story. Yeshua himself said in Matthew 7 verse 6, and he was talking about the religious people of his day at that time. He said, "Do not give that which is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine." He said, "For they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." He was talking about the Sadducees and the Pharisees who were blinded by the truth and unable to receive the secrets of the kingdom, which would bring them life and life abundantly. Now, with regard to tests and trials and temptations, they will always be part of the Christian journey, our Christian experience. And our response is what is important, whether or not we will move up the ladder in our spiritual development. Praise the Lord that God takes our messes and he turns them into messages. I will never forget, as a young, inexperienced Christian mother of a preschooler, I made the grave mistake of not thinking carefully before I reacted to a problem which transpired when I went to fetch my son Timothy from preschool the one day. He went to a little Christian preschool. I got such a shock when I saw on Timothy's head a big black witch's hat. And I realized that the theme for the day had been witches and wizards. Now Proverbs 13 verse 16 says, "Wise people think before they act." Well, I certainly was not wise in my reaction as a very protective mother over my child's spiritual development. And I immediately told his teacher that I was not at all happy with the message that it was okay to dress up as a witch. And I really lost my cool that day. I didn't shout at her, but I was not at all happy. And she herself being a committed Christian from a traditional church background, and I realized after our confrontation that here was a classic example of a Christian who didn't believe that witches were actually real entities and not just a figment of the imagination nor fantasy, that they are representative of a real occultic power and therefore are to be considered as evil. And Romans 16 verse 19 says very clearly that we are to be excellent in that which is good and innocent of evil, particularly in the area of dealing with young preschoolers or young children. And I was not just upset concerning my own child, but all the other children that were there. Obviously, because anything that is to do with the occult is not going to bring life to the situation. Anyway, I was wrong in how I went about it. I shouldn't have just barged in there and said what I felt. I should have been quiet and gone back home and spoken to my husband and then taken it from there, as husband and wife gone to speak to the teacher. But I didn't. I got all upset. And then she told me she was very upset with this whole debacle and that she was going to speak to my husband. Well, as it transpired, I did go back home and I did chat to Graham about it. And for some reason, she never, ever spoke to him. Now, to be quite honest, I felt that right there, it was like throwing pearls before swine. I certainly am not coming from a judgmental or critical perspective, but I'm trying to put something across here. It's so important to understand that not everybody will appreciate the truths of God, particularly if there is a religious spirit that is operating. Just like Yeshua, when he was trying to share truth with the religious system of the day, they could not receive it. And the important thing is here, well, obviously I did not act in wisdom, but there was truth that needed to come across. And it's important to realize that just like Hezekiah, the secrets of Israel should not have been revealed. The treasures of Israel, as it were, should not have been given to pagan deities. So now I just want to mention this again. This pearls before swine. I've had other situations. I remember sitting down with a lady and teaching her the wonderful truths of water baptism. And this lady was from a very religious background, and she was adamant that she had been baptized when she put herself under the shower. Now, I had gone to great lengths to speak to her about the truths of water baptism, how Yeshua himself had been baptized, and if he needed to be baptized, gone underwater, baptized by John the Baptist, submitted himself to the local church authority, how much more should we? You see, with all of these things, it was not my desire to hurt or harm anybody. I wanted the preschool teacher to know the truth so that she could then be empowered to teach the children. In all our dealings with people, our motivation should be heart of love, and that truly was my motivation. My heart was to be able to empower somebody, just as I wanted to empower the lady who needed to be water baptized, but she chose to just turn around and she looked at me that I was the one who was wrong. It's important that we as born-again believers, in every situation, to hear what God says and to present the truth. But very often, if there is a religious spirit operating, it will be pearls before swine. And I have since learned that there are some situations one just has to pray about it and not necessarily say anything. Everything we do, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. And there are many times that I've failed, I've messed up, but praise God that He will turn our weaknesses into strengths and then we are able to help others. Now, I also just want to mention on Tuesday, just this week, at the pastor's fraternal, which Graham and I attend, one of the pastors there read out a list of requirements which his congregational members are required to sign before becoming a member of his church in order to maintain Christian standards. Now, I had to sign a similar list when making an application to attend the Bible school that I went to in Dallas many years ago. It was a list promising not to drink, nor to smoke, nor to dress indecently, etc., etc. Now, I just want to use these two scenarios of these signing a list to illustrate an important point. Merely signing a form and promising to obey a list of rules and regulations, as helpful as it may be in maintaining Christian values and ethics, and I'm certainly not trying to discredit any church or organization that wants their members to do this, to sign something in allegiance, as it were, to help with how an organization or church runs something. I'm certainly not trying to be disrespectful, but I want to just point something out here, and I'm sure that all of us are aware that there is only one way to really be able to put into practice Christian principles. And it is the absolute realization that true Christianity is not a list of rules and regulations, but rather a real relationship with a real God and a recognition of our total dependency upon Him, our inadequacies, our human frailties, Our inconsistencies all boil down to one thing, which is common to all human beings, and that is our desperate need for Him, for Yeshua, for Jesus Christ, and the power of His blood, for it is His grace and His grace alone that enables us to live out the Christian life. When Yeshua instructs us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Heavenly Father, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," I believe that He is encouraging each one of us, as our Father's precious children, to recognize His great power, which is perfected in our weaknesses. As Paul the Apostle states in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, where the Lord spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me." Therefore, this is the secret to verse 13 of the Lord's Prayer. And as each one of us endeavors to put this principle into practice, our weaknesses being replaced by His strength on a daily basis, I believe that God's kingdom will become more and more evident, more manifest on the earth, as we realize that it is His power, it is His strength, it is nothing that we can possibly do. Not that we don't take responsibility, but just a total recognition of our absolute weakness and our dependence upon Him. And when we realize that it is His power, it is His ability, it is His anointing, that anointing which breaks every yoke of bondage, it is the anointing which enables us to supernaturally do things that we couldn't possibly do in the natural, then He is able to do the impossible in each one of our lives. By faith, Father God, Heavenly Father, may You lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank You for this wonderful, wonderful truth, Lord. May we realize more and more that it is Your power in our weakness that enables us to do what only You can do. Amen. Be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name.